Welcome to the Flyover Ministry Podcast, a practical youth ministry podcast for small church leaders by small church leaders. We are grateful that you have joined us for our journey through ministry-related topics that we hope help equip and encourage you as you serve Jesus wherever you are.
And welcome to the podcast. I'm Dan.
Ding. And I'm Jordan.
And you've got mail. That's most of our listeners have no idea what that is.
That's fine.
Well, maybe they do. I have a feeling we appeal to the older audience.
But yeah, I remember those free samples. They were amazing.
Where did you get your free sample CDs of America Online?
I think they had like bins of them. I don't know. Those things were those were as prevalent then as Thrivent t-shirts are now.
Yeah. I remember getting those sample CDs in like a cereal box. And I forget what cereal was. Rice Krispies stand out immediately.
Yeah.
As an option, but yeah, you just grab your CD of American Online and somehow you plugged it in and it worked. Yeah. Who knows why or how, but...
You know, in some regards, though, those really were, like, the height of good old days when it came to cereal, getting cool things in your boxes.
Mm.
And, you know, sometimes time goes on and you have to come down from the mountain, so to speak. And, you know, speaking of that, there's something kind of similar for us as we are finding ourselves here. Now, not at the same elevation when we were at the Fly Convention. Coming back home into the nitty-gritty day-to-day life. And Dan is not impressed with the transition.
No, I'm applauding. This is...
We're so good at rabbit trails. I was trying to think, how can I get this kind of back on track?
No, we got it. Got it here. It's like, what are you? Okay. I see what you're doing.
Yeah. So today we're going to be looking at coming down the mountain, and you know, whether you went to the Fly Convention or not, you might have your own thing that you go to, a camp, a family camp, a retreat, maybe just a really solid time with some students. There's a sense where you have that experience and then reality comes in and things kind of go back to normal. So you can think through, you know, the students who seem to really be connecting and thriving together. And all of a sudden you go back home and it's kind of like the social dynamics that we left that have kind of hindered those relationships are still in place, or just the mess of life that you get back into. So today we really want to talk about coming down the mountain. Like, how do you process the reality together with your students of having this experience, which is really great. Like, we enjoy in ministry those times where it's like, man, there was some sweet ministry that was happening here. Maybe a little bit more than the real deep valleys of struggle.
Maybe.
But I mean, when you're looking and considering God's hand at work, sometimes those valleys can be even more potent in the end than the mountaintops. But, you know, and anywhere in between, God is at work. But yet there's maybe a sense of just like a bummer. Like, you know, the students saying, I wish we could be at Fly all summer kind of a thing. And as a leader, I'm kind of like, I'm glad we're not at Fly all summer. but how do you transition from that mountaintop without losing maybe the progress and the momentum that you had?
Yeah. Oh, you're asking me.
Yeah, sure. Tell us, wise one.
Tell us, wise one. Oh, man. I think the first thing that I do after coming back from a mountaintop is to have some rest. I just need to have some me time, especially, Fly is great. It's also a 14-hour bus drive for us straight through. So having some time to actually catch up on sleep, to not have any expectations, to not be wondering, where are our students? You know, and what electives are we going to go to? Or, you know, if you're at a camp, where are you going to eat? Or what are you going to do? Or to have anything? Because I think sometimes even a lot of the mountaintop experiences, there's a lot of work administratively that goes on for you as a leader to even get your students physically there and to be able to come back and not have any expectations for you. I'd recommend taking a full day off at least. I know some people take more than that even. I think the mentality as well that you have to avoid is that even though you were away from your office at church or wherever you are at, that was not vacation. Like, that does not count as vacation, at least in my book. Seems to me that there's people who a vocal slip will ask, so how was your trip? And that's what they mean to say, but they will ask, how was your vacation? It's like, fly was awesome, you know, or this camping trip went super well. You know, have a time that's agenda free for you to be able to kind of collect yourself. I think also when you are planning and preparing for something like a mountaintop experience or for like a camp, and I keep thinking about fly because that's just what we've come off of.
And it's literally in a mountain.
Well, and it's literally on a mountain, right? So when you come back from that, part of the planning and preparation for a bigger event like that is the post-event navigation of, okay, I'm not entirely sure. There's a lot of fill-in-the-blank Mad Lib options here for how God is going to work. I am anticipating this. I'm praying for this because I know my students, but you know, they could come away with something completely different. But to be open to at least plan and talk with them after you've all had some rest to think about, okay, this was the fly convention. What did you appreciate? What did you experience? What did you take note of? Like, how were you caught off guard? I have these little post-it note, these little note cards that I give our students on our way to the fly convention. And I have them fill in just a couple of questions like, here's what are you looking forward to this week? What are you expecting that you're going to be learning about? And a couple of different options for them to start answering these questions so that they are able to enter into a time where they are at least a little mentally prepared to see God at work in their life, to be keeping an eye out for, well, I'm anticipating to learn more about this. And then now they've physically written it down. They're able to use that to say, like, you know, I was thinking about learning about this, and I did, but I was really caught off guard because it went above and beyond anything that I was anticipating. And on the way back from fly, because we have so much time, I have them write down, like, what did you take a look at what you wrote beforehand? Like, how did you see God at work in your heart? What were things that you were convicted of? What were things that you were challenged to try and maybe do in the coming days? And to make sure that all of the students, after you get home, that you or one of your leaders are able to connect with them and debrief.
Yeah, that debrief thing is pretty significant. And I think it's easy to overlook, partially just because as a leader, you can be pretty wore out too. And I would say even consider the time before an event, like a large scale event, to maybe rest prior to that too. I know this year for me, it was like 3 big weeks packed together right before our trip. So there was no downtime before that. And you know, if you're someone who is tasked with keeping hours, we're talking about the whole trip itself, from when we left to when we got back, being about 100 and my chart was 109 hours, in just over a week. So if you're expected for a normal 40-hour work week, if that's the expectation, or even 50, you've basically packed 2 weeks into one. So taking a day or two is justifiable. You know, so that's important too. And another thing that I think is interesting too is, and this is similar to like if you do a mission trip or something, you know, because you're going to be coming back to a place where the people who are you're going to haven't experienced the things that you've experienced. And there's an element of how do I communicate what this was like, right? So when I was in Africa right. for like a month, and then I came back and I was like, well, how was it? And it's like, well, how do I summarize this in a way that you can understand, in a way that you actually care about? And so in that trip, you know, we were told, like, what are one or two things that you've been touched by that you don't want to be the same again in your own life? Like, how can you be transformed by this experience intentionally? And that gives you a better chance of, like, hanging on and processing some of those things itself, and providing an opportunity for our students to have that as well, recognizing, like, look, guys, in our youth group time, we did something called an encouragement circle. And it's kind of like a campy thing. When you hear the description of it, you're just like, oh, that sounds like kumbaya-ish kind of stuff. But at FLY, it was a powerful moment. And we had students who were crying. And like later in that night in my room, one of my guy students I was with was just like, yeah, kids stop crying, but they're good tears. And like he was this going to be senior in high school football player. And he was like touched in this way. Well, you talk about this, and then you describe to someone, yeah, we told people what we appreciate about him. And they're like, okay, like, whatever. And so they're missing on the power of this experience. So to prepare them, like, this is going to be different. So work together. How do we allow this to change us? But also, on the way back, preparing for we are going home. We are going back to quote-unquote normal. You're different now because you've had these experiences. You've had these encounters. So how do you want life to be different as you go back? Kind of, again, that debrief time as you're happening there. And also, I think it's healthy to recognize that there is going to be normalcy pushing itself back in, right? Like, right. You can say, hey, my devotional life is awesome now. This is going to be great. And then you come back and 2 days later, it's just like, crud, I forgot. Like, I didn't read my Bible, right?
I left my Bible in the mountains.
Yeah. And to tell our kids that it's okay. And actually, I don't know if you've ever looked into Moses when it comes to mountaintop experiences. Have you ever looked into that link?
A bit. Go on.
Okay, so there's a season where Moses is meeting with God on the mountain, on Mount Sinai. And as he's encountering the presence of the Lord, he's in God's presence. He walks down the mountain and he's not aware, but he's glowing. Like Moses becomes a human glow stick because the glory of God is still like so present on him. But that glory of God, the glow that's there, I did not try to make a pun. I just misspoke. Glory of God. Yeah. It faded.
Move along.
After time. It was a glorious pun. So what Moses starts to do then is he starts to wear a veil so that people can't see the glory fading. And it's interesting. Just kind of like, I don't know if this is an insecurity of Moses or if Moses is just like, hey, a glowing human's kind of freaky, so maybe I'll spare people like the freaky observation thing here. But even Moses, as he's meeting with God, sees this glory fading. And like that's something we can say with our students. Like, look, we've had this similar experience maybe where we've had this meeting with the Lord in this unique place. We've separated ourselves from the day-to-day grind, and we've had this encounter. So now what's next? You know, how do we coach them through that? And to say, struggling with devotions again doesn't mean you're a horrible Christian. This is just like a part of life.
Yeah, I think about sometimes, as you talk about Moses, Elijah springs to mind too, a man who had an incredible mountaintop experience and then immediately confronted with spiritual warfare through Ahab and Jezebel. Like, oh, you killed some of our prophets, eh? Oh, you killed all of them. Well, we've got some news for you, pal. And the amount of work that Elijah has done up to that point, obeying the Lord and even recognizing, like, coming off the mountaintop, you can face plant into, I would say, spiritual depression is kind of what Elijah goes into.
Yeah, it sounds kind of depressing.
Yeah. And what does the Lord tell him to do?
Buck it up, Buttercup. Do you think you're the only one left I've spared?
Yeah.
Well, he actually tells him to rest too, but
well, he got yeah, right. It's the rest, refresh yourself, eat, come and eat, right? So there's an element here of you need to refresh yourself.
Yeah.
You need to have that component in place as well. But
we just let people know who's the more compassionate one of the two of us.
I do think though that mountaintop experiences are great because they allow us a chance to exhale a little bit, to have a greater view of what God has been doing. I'm reminded of the fact, and I think I've shared this before on previous podcasts, but when we did our fly alternative trip on the Year Without Fly back in 21, we went up to the North Shore and we actually had that debriefing time with our students of, hey, what was the most awesome thing that you got to do this week? And we went hiking and we had a lot of time in Bible studies and the weather was great. And we went swimming and a lot of yard games and driving around and shopping and just awesome food and time together and laughing. And one of their favorite times was washing dishes and doing KP and even cooking meals for the rest of the group to have. And it wasn't a big group, but they enjoyed the times where they were able to, I wouldn't say suffer together, but they were together on the good times and also in the times that normal people, quote unquote normal people, would not immediately have as the highlights of this trip. And it reminds me that, you know, these kids, when they are out of their normal daily patterns, when they are in a spot that is unfamiliar to them, where they are almost forced to be uncomfortable, that God is really able to do a lot of incredible work, or you're able to see a lot of that incredible work being done. Because God, like you said, God is always at work. I think of some of the feedback that a local camp here has received, and one of the students wrote back, I don't think God talks to me any louder at camp, but I hear him better. So how do you prepare your students to hear from God? And I would say as a leader, take their phones away. I realize that that means that they won't be taking pictures. And I think there's value in a time and a place for taking pictures, but that's why there's this thing called cameras that are invented. I would even say it might be a real fun thing for your ministry to try is to go and get a lot of disposable cameras or like a old Polaroid instant photo deal and take just the retro photography kind of thing that way and say, I want you to fill this with pictures from the trip and we will develop them when we get back and that is what we're going to use.
Since I've seen a disposable camera in a store.
It has been a day and an age. I wonder, I'm kind of half curious here. I'm going to open a new tab. I'll let you keep talking. I'm going to go to Amazon and see what they're running nowadays.
Sure. Or even just, you know, a fairly cheaper digital point-and-click camera, too, could work. If you have a decent
card. Oh, my gosh.
And then if you have a digital picture frame in your youth room somewhere, you could put lots of fun things in there. Your eyes got big.
Well, the first thing on Amazon, analog disposable camera with flash, 35mm film, 24 exposures, picture sent to your phone. It's $30.
Oh, inflation is rough.
But no, so this camera will send the pictures to your phone. I think that's why, but I don't understand.
It must be after they develop it. Because if it's 14, on film, they can't send it to your...
Yeah, this is going to be a rabbit hole.
There we go. Anywho,
it's more expensive than it should be.
Well,
maybe that wasn't such a great idea.
It could be fun. Put it in your budget. So
build it in.
Yeah, and I think there's value to that because another thing to wrestle with is just one of the elements that makes those mountaintop experiences happen. Is because it is outside of normal life and you are escaping some of the regular stuff that can distract you. Now, because of that, by definition, you can't maintain that because it would become regular life in a sense. So,
right.
But you know, you can explore like, okay, so what was different? What spiritual disciplines were you exposed to or able to have that aren't in a typical place of your life? Mm-hmm. And it might just be like having time, or, you know, like you said, not having your phone. So maybe you could say one way we could do this is just like go to bed, put your phone in the living room or in the kitchen. Don't bring it with you, you know, just, and make sure that you spend some time just being still before God and asking like what he wants to bring you that day. So, there are things that we can do, from that.
How soon would you encourage leaders to start planning for the next mountaintop? I mean, or not that we're forcing mountaintop experiences, but these other larger events, because we recognize that these events are not the end goal of ministry. They are the framework that ministry happens in. So as far as creating an environment for these learning experiences, these incredible opportunities for God to be at work in our students in a more tangible way, how long would you encourage people to hold off planning the next thing?
That's a great question. And in a some way, I'm going to answer by like a similar thing. How long do you put between planning revivals?
Mm.
You know, like can you really plan a revival? So with the, so we'll take the Fly Convention as an example. Is it very common that there's something special that happens there? Yes. Does planning help with that? Yes. But can you plan on a calendar mountaintop experience? I think that's a challenge. Now, like you said, your camping trip that you did in Replace a Fly 2 years ago, we could plan something. Like you could plan a winter retreat or something like that. And you can mm-hmm. hope that this will be a mountaintop experience. We can hope for the best. In that sense, I would say, I think it would be tough to maintain a pace of like quarterly. If you're doing something on yourself, that might be okay, but also recognize the things that are out there. Like you could do, one big event in the summer. You could have, a fall kind of thing. I know there's a lot of options that are out there as far as evangelism things, the reality conference. There's a lot of those bigger things that can be really impactful. But I would also say that, again, kind of like the theme that we've talked about, you want to be strategic about what the purpose is. Is the purpose for it to be a mountaintop experience, or is the purpose for something else? So, for example, the reality conference, very much apologetic-based. So you might target a certain number of people and say, hey, I think you're ready for this. I think this will be good. Let's go. And the purpose then is preparation for them to expose with this kind of deep thinking. And that might be something that's really amazing for them. You could have something that you're focusing on evangelism and you've got this thing lined up really good. You do maybe a Dare to Share live event or something. And then you get the students together and then it's coming to the part where, okay, now we actually have to like put this into practice and we're going to go into the community, and it just falls flat. You know, I had that 1 year. We had put stuff together and then it so happened that all of my students had to leave for some reason right as it was time for us to transition into this like application thing. Convenient. So I don't know how you
bathroom.
I don't know how you'd plan amount. Maybe that's a cop out. But what were you thinking? How soon before you as a leader start to plan?
Well, I recognize that they do happen naturally. And sometimes like revival, they just happen sometimes in spite of what you're doing. I think sometimes there's also the benefit of viewing this kind of like monkey bars on a jungle gym, where you're swinging from one thing mm-hmm. to the next, and you got to take some break there a little bit sometimes to collect yourself to be able to make the next swing. So I would pace out. I would say not just to stock your schedule full of events, but I think you gotta allow a chance, especially on like the larger ministry outings, especially like Fly. I think it's important to let your group grow into a little bit of who they've become now that they've had this experience, to allow them to become a little more mature in the space that they have grown into. Like, they might have a sudden and greater urge to do outreach at your church, and, you know, let's grow into that, and to allow the fruits of what God did at that mountaintop experience to kind of grow and develop. And you don't want to just launch into the next thing right away, because they have to mature into where they're at. So I would say, as far as like a big retreat, maybe once a year. Sure. I would say maybe the rest of the time, still having intentional time in God's word together. You can scatter larger ministry outings together as a group throughout the year, but I would say like one big one, mm-hmm. Calendar year.
Yeah, and I think even communicating with students, the concept of just like the fact that you've got your mountaintop experience, how to interpret it could even just be like saying, okay, what we see happening here, guys, isn't all of a sudden God creating fruit in your life. Mm. It's the stuff that God has been working over this past year is being revealed. And maybe it's just like revealing all of a sudden. But as a leader too, recognizing that a lot of stuff is happening in the day-to-day in ministry that is facilitating this growth and stuff too. So encouraging them that way, that the day-to-day may not feel amazing, but God is still faithful at work there too. Mm-hmm. All right. So I hope that this gives you something to think through, whatever your mountaintop experience was. As we're working on our listener engagement, we would love to hear what your mountaintop experience of the year was. Maybe it was Fly. Maybe it was something else.
I hope you're back from Fly.
Yeah. If not,
if you're still physically on that mountaintop, send help.
Text an SOS. We'll get you taken care of. So yeah, but tell us what your experience was. We'd love to hear what God has been doing and has done in some of those moments for you guys too. So may that encourage you as you go to the future and give you the energy you need to, as you go faithfully to serve the Lord.
Thanks for listening to Flyover Ministry. You can find, follow, and give feedback on our Instagram and Facebook pages at Flyover Ministry. You can also get in contact with us on our Gmail account, flyoverministrypodcast@gmail.com. You can find other episodes that we've recorded on iTunes and Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and please feel free to share them with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.